Okay, so we're technically live on Facebook and on YouTube. This isn't patching through yet. Should be there any second. Oh, looks like it is. Yeah, it is. Look at that. There's just all these delays. Hi. Hello, Facebook. Let me share this really quick. We'll get started in just 2 minutes. AJ Rivera here for another amazing episode of AJTV, and I have Peter Scabo in the house. Peter, if you want to say hi, maybe fix your hair. We can test your audio really quick while I share this really quick. That'll be awesome.
What's up? You gotta pay attention to the hair, you know?
The hair looks good. I think I wouldn't move anything, like not a single strand from where it is. Yeah, it's perfect. All right, cool. Let me just hit share real quick here. We're going to get started in just a few minutes. I don't know, 60 seconds or so here. And Peter Scabo, if you don't know him, is a Facebook ads expert. First of all, if you don't know him, you probably know literally nothing, which is unfortunate for you. But Peter Scabo is a legend when it comes to Facebook advertising. He advertised, he's been in digital marketing since, were you 11 or 12 or something like that? So, 11 years old. So for those of you who are saying, yeah, I'll just wait till I'm 30 or 40 before I start doing my own, but this guy's been doing it since before he could drive. I don't know, what age can they drive over there? Is it still, so since before he could drive, cool stuff. And we'll just kind of let a few people jump on here and we'll get things rolling. Let me do a formal intro. I used to do this all with like a timer and everything, and I'm like, people don't get as excited as I thought, like as I was with all these graphics, and I'm like, I'm just gonna do it normal. So, okay, this is for the podcast. Hello, AJ Rivera here. Welcome to AJTV episode 23, where I find the smartest people I know. I ask them questions for selfish gain, and then maybe it also helps you guys as well. Today we have Peter Scabo, who is a Facebook ads expert. He's a coach, he's an entrepreneur. He's been featured in all different publications like Entrepreneur, Huffington Post. He's spoken at lots of different conferences and masterminds. If you're even a little bit into Facebook advertising, you probably recognize the name. He's got a couple things he's speaking at right now in New York. I know. Have you spoken on the same stage as Oprah too? I feel like that happened recently. Was it something like that? Only a bunch of famous actors, and Oprah maybe was intimidated. So yeah, so he's a big deal. Peter, thank you for being here. I appreciate you. I know you're super busy, and I know you're here in the States right now for work. But thanks for being here, dude.
It's my pleasure.
So really quick, I know I gave you a little bit of an intro, but can you, for somebody who maybe is new to marketing or just doesn't look at the internet or read books or know anything, can you qualify yourself, kind of tell people your story real quick? I don't want to spend too much time on it because I want to get more to the interesting stuff. So real quick rundown of what you do, how you got started in entrepreneurship, digital marketing, that whole thing.
All right, so super quick, I own a Facebook marketing agency. I've got a bunch of clients, and essentially how I got started is back when I was 11, my family made a huge investment. We took out multiple loans, we dried up all our savings accounts, and we put all of our money into an MLM company. It didn't work out, we went broke, couldn't afford a $50 Nike shoe, life sucked, didn't speak much of English. And one day, luckily, I saw the movie The Secret, which kind of opened my eyes, right? And with that courage, I went onto Google. I typed in how to make money online, started making 2-3 cents a day. Took me roughly 2-3 months to make my first dollar. At that time, I remember being laughed at by all my classmates telling me that I'm working hard for the type of money they would not even bend over to pick up from the streets. You know, and eventually I tried different things. I tried Fiverr, CPL, affiliate marketing, digital marketing, Facebook marketing. And, you know, eventually started making a dollar a day, 10 bucks a day, 100 bucks a day. I think my best day so far was 11,000 in a single day. Of course, I don't make that much every single day, but it has worked out pretty well because I stick to it, even though it looked like there's no hope.
Totally. Awesome. Yeah, I actually didn't know the full story there. That's weird. I feel because we spent, you know, a little bit of time hanging out, and I didn't know that full background that you went into the MLM stuff, and that's kind of what got you started online. So, what do you let's talk you know, that's your kind of qualifying thing, right? But let's talk more about what is your, I guess, zone of expertise now? Where are you focusing most of your energy? Because I know you do a lot of things, but what is, I guess, your zone of genius?
Right. So I tried a lot of things over the years, and just like a couple of years back, I used to consult people, coach with them. But as I niched down and I thought about, like, okay, what is that I'm really good at? What is something I actually enjoy doing? It turned out to be Facebook ads, you know, just marketing in that way. And that's what I do. We spent a few million dollars in ads and generated a bunch more for clients at pretty high ROI percentages. So that's something I'm quite proud of.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, I think it's amazing. And that's how I knew you. It was interesting because, you know, we went at a sort of mastermind, right, a few months ago here, and I knew who you were before, I think, maybe you knew who I was, I don't think you did, but I knew who you were before I even met you, so I was like, that's pretty cool. This is the Peter Scavo. I was like, who's this young guy? Because are you 19 or 18 right now?
Yeah, just turned 19.
He just turned 19 years old. He's running this crazy seven-figure agency. Whose cat? Is this an Airbnb, or did you just bring your cat with you?
No, I don't have a cat. It's in the Airbnb.
Okay, I'm like, where did you get that cat? All right, man. Let's talk a little bit about Facebook ads right now. Everybody's using them, right? Yeah. What's working right now for entrepreneurs in terms of Facebook marketing? What's not working too? I want to know that, because I don't want to waste money on stuff. And selfishly, if I can talk to you for 30 minutes, I'm going to try to find out what isn't working so I can save some time.
Yeah, well, one key thing to keep in mind is that ads are going to get more expensive over time. Like last year, we had like 2 million advertisers, and this year we have 5 million. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine what happened. Cost per mail, cost per 1,000 impressions is going up. And a lot of people are trying to figure out ways how they can pay less per click, less per 1,000 impressions, which is all good. It's a part of the game. But if you want to dominate or like stay on top of the industry for a long time, you should be finding ways to increase your lifetime value, increase the value on the back end so you can compete even in the future when costs get higher, because it's bound to happen. So that's something to keep in mind. And, you know, there's many, many different things you can do, upsells, cross sells, whatever, you know, recurring stuff. In the front end, as Facebook ads go, bots seem to be very interesting, and you know, there's a lot of potential for them. I'm personally just like venturing into it, so I don't have a lot of experience with it. I know, you know, some of our mentors do.
So yes, nobody really knows that much. I was just talking to Scott about this, who's mentor both of ours, and he probably is, you know, more ahead of most people. But even he'll say, he's like, I don't know. He's like, I was just testing it for the past, you know, 60 days, and that's how I know this. So he's pretty open, but you know, it is all experimental, and anything can shift at any moment. So.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, that looks, you know, quite promising. There's not much I can say regarding it. And it depends on your industry. You know, each market has a different sophistication, each location as well. So, for example, what I've noticed is like webinars are getting less effective, especially in the United States, especially in like maybe not MLM, but like coaches, consultants in these type of markets where people have seen it many times before. So maybe when you run a similar webinar in like Latin America, sorry, the cat is doing weird stuff, then it's going to be more effective because people are not used to it. You know, nowadays, if you say you have an automated webinar, people know. I mean, a live webinar, people know it's automated. Show-up rates are down. Cost per lead is up. So, yeah, just one thing I would recommend is like stick to what's proven, you know what works and do it, but also zig when they zag. You know, add something unique, because you also need to stand out. If you just copy somebody else, in my experience, usually their results are not going to be the same. You know, your results usually is going to be worse, because there's a lot of things that are invisible to you that are assets and resources the other guy or gal might have, you know, such as a seasoned pixel, huge email list. And I think that's one of the big problems, like a lot of these gurus don't teach, when whatever you buy a course or whatever, they give you all these benchmarks. You should get a 60% opt-in rate. You should get an appointment for $50. They don't tell you all these variables that go to it. You know, you need to have your pixel seasoned. You need to have 1,000, you know, people, customer list, whatever. and a newbie goes in there, or an intermediate player, and they're getting apps for like $400 instead of $50, and now they're freaking out, what's going on? Right. And the reason I'm saying this is because I used to be in those shoes. Like a past mentor of mine back in the age, you know, he was suggesting to me that I should be doing this stuff, this webinar, get $50 apps, and like it was so far from the truth. You know, I was paying way more for that. And like I never knew until I asked a different mentor, and he finally explained that, you know, there were a lot of variables that were unknown to me. If that answers the question, of course.
Yeah. No, that totally answers the question, and it gives a lot of insight. And you're talking a little bit about zigging when they zag. I think that's important. You know, every time I talk to you, you have creative ideas about that and dropping costs down, because that's what matters, right? How important do you think email lists, and we had this conversation a couple months ago, but it's been months, so I want to know, like, are they going away? Are bots going to replace them? Or is that what you're, I mean, that's how I feel. I don't know. Obviously, you don't know. But what are your thoughts on sort of when it comes to, everybody was always, you know, live by the list, die by the list, grow your list. It's the only thing that's forever. But, you know, those open rates are dropping, and the cost for them is going up. Do you recommend like going straight for like, I've seen no opt-in funnels, for instance, a little bit lately, right? Is that something that is sustainable? Is that a short-term fix? Or do you think that's just the future? When it comes to your email list, is that going away? Should I be caring about my email list anymore? Or should I just say, forget it, I'm going to get bot subscribers and just get applications? I guess it's like 10 questions, sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Well, definitely don't get rid of it. You know, I think it's still going to be around for a while, even though bots do seem a lot more promising, like open rates and click-through rates are much higher. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, I mean, even if you pay the same amount for like a bot lead, it's going to be much more responsive. So you're going to make more money. But that doesn't mean you should get rid of the different asset, which is the email list. I think it also depends on your end result. You know, do you want to get a simple email lead and like nurture them and sell them something down the line? Depends on your price tag. Like I said, depends on your offer. Okay. Although what I've done, and let me preface this by this, I think our industry, like internet marketing, whatever you want to call it, I think we are indoctrinated to believe that the money is in the email list, blah, 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 which is, you know, partially it might be true, but when I let that go and I started to like zig when they zag, start to think outside the box, I decided to drop the email opt-in, you know, and I just decided to send people straight to the VSL and have them book a phone call, because that's what I sold. I sold a done-for-you, you know, service for Facebook ads. It was high ticket, but it wasn't super expensive. So I thought, for this specific offer, I don't need webinar quality leads, and I don't need people to go through a long sequence. They know what they want, and if it's the right type of lead, I can sell them right away. So for me, it didn't make sense to pay all that extra money to get an email lead and pay even more money to get somebody on the phone. Like, usually when it comes to high ticket, people pay $200-$300, which you can still make a lot of money that way, of course. But in my case, I thought, okay, if I just get rid of the email opt-in, I can potentially get cheaper phone calls, because that was my end result. And that's exactly what happened. I got it down to like $90, made some tweaks, got it down to $30. And now I've got a campaign which is spitting out phone calls with an application for $10 each. And I'm selling them a recurring monthly high ticket service. So you can imagine at that cost, $10 instead of $200, it's a pretty big unfair advantage.
Totally. And your LCV is like more than $10,000. So that doesn't, like, it's super worth it if you're selling something that's, you know, high ticket or long term, that is going to result in a bigger LCB. So and that makes sense to me too. I think because emails are going up in price anyways. Like, I'm seeing emails that are $20. I had somebody the other day told me they paid $40 for an email. I'm like, why are you even, like, I'm not Peter Scavo or any other Facebook ad expert, but I know you should probably not even be asking for the emails at this point. Like, that's what you would hope to one day maybe get an application down to, or even potentially a sale, depending on how expensive your product is or service or whatever you're selling. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Are you doing anything with bots right now, personally, or are you just looking at them?
Yeah, kind of funny to ask. I literally just yesterday launched a new campaign, which is kind of like top secret for now.
you don't have to go into details.
Yeah, but I'm pretty excited to see whatever happens. It was actually an idea Scott shared with me. So it was my idea, and on top of that, he shared something regarding bots, combining those two, and we'll see whatever happens.
That's super. Yeah, we have a bot as well that we are launching. It's a little bit. It's not super secret. We're launching a bot in a couple days. We had a little hiccup with some of our direct response stuff. I messaged you about that, but we'll get that rolling here in the next month or so, in the next couple weeks, while it still works. So, do you mind talking to bots a little bit? I know you're not the bots expert, but some people watching here, like, there's a lot of entrepreneurs who watch my stuff, right? But some of them are like, you know, small gym owners, fitness professionals. Do you think bots have a place there when it comes to local ads? I know you work with bigger level people most of the time, but you definitely have worked with local advertisers as well. Do you think bots plays a bigger role, the same role, or nothing when it comes to local marketers, local businesses?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it can be applied to like any business. I think it's more about how you use it, you know. Okay. Because this way you can just slide into their private messages with the bot, you know, talk to them, qualify them better. So I think it has a lot of potential in the future, although it's very new, right? So I think it's still not dialed in to the, you know, that extent when it's going to be in the future. So to be honest, I don't have a lot of answers to these questions just yet. But I do think there's a lot of potential. And I mean, some people are making 6-7 figures using these bots already, seeing amazing results. And you know, I can tell you more when I see my campaign produce some results. Like, I don't want to be the blind.
You don't want to give an answer that's obsolete in 5 minutes. I got you.
Exactly.
I totally got you. All right, cool, man. So in terms of what's working for Facebook advertising, are you suggesting if you sell anything that has, you know, an LCV of 5,000 or more, potentially just dropping opt-ins and emails? I mean, is that what you're recommending?
Potentially. I mean, you got to be very strategic about it. I mean, if you have the social proof behind it, the testimonials, the case studies, you know, you've maybe got some PR to back it up with. And if you can have like a 5 minute, 10 minute, you know, VSL, a piece of content, maybe even 20 minutes, it's kind of on the edge. You know, it's enough to get people to actually buy a high ticket service. You know, you don't necessarily need a webinar. Also, what I thought about is like the really successful people, like the high level clients. I mean, we got some clients doing multi 6 figures a month. One of them is like doing 600,000 every month. These guys don't have time to sit down for like a 60 minute webinar, you know, not even to mention the waiting time till the webinar begins. Right, these guys would rather watch a 5 minute VSL that says, okay, this guy's the real deal, he's got these, you know, whatever credibility factors, trust, blah blah blah, get on the phone and make it happen. Right, so that's what I noticed. Like, it's a very simple funnel, it's very counterintuitive, there's no email opt-in, but we actually landed our biggest clients using a simple VSL. So that's something that's working really well, especially if you're in the high ticket industry. And maybe you're not charging 10 grand in the spot, because that's a pretty big sale. You know, that's something you potentially need the webinar for, to really create that reciprocity, to tell a story, to, you know, go more in depth. But if you're selling something at like 1-3 grand a month or so, maybe a percentage of something, you know, that is something I do believe. And while I got proof, you can sell it right away from like a 5-10 minute VSL.
Totally. Yeah, that makes sense too, because, you know, and I'm not, you know, a multi-millionaire person, but I'm not going to sit, like, it takes a lot for me to sit down and watch a full hour long webinar. Yeah. Like, we kind of dole them out, me and my executives, and take turns watching them if we're going to. And like, it's really like, if the first 5 minutes seems like, don't want this hook, like, it's one of those things we just kind of leave in the background. Webinars seem, from my estimations, like they serve lower ticket things like courses and populations of people who are maybe under 6 figures better. Is that your experience as well?
Yeah, I mean, I used to use webinars for strategy sessions in the past. So I get people on the phone, and now I'm actually running a campaign and try to sell them a $1,000 course. So I think it's ideal for that. I mean, the thing is, if you look around like Ty Lopez and Sam Ovens and all these guys that are, you know, generating a lot of money, These guys are selling like $1,000, $2,000 courses. It's automated, it's very leveraged. I love the idea. Matter of fact, that's something I'm venturing into myself. And we'll see whatever happens, you know?
Right. Okay, cool. So webinars are still working. Are you doing, have you ever tried a no opt-in webinar or like those video, have you? Have you ever done something crazy? Well, like for instance, you can do live stream webinars. Like I've done live stream no opt-in webinars. I haven't run traffic to it because it scares me, but I've run webinars via live stream. I saw a little bit of some pretty cool results. We haven't done it enough to have real data, but is that anything like, can you see that kind of replacing it? Is that something you are trying or would recommend, or would you think that's a bad idea?
Yeah, potentially. I heard some pretty interesting results with that. Just one question, where are you running that for like $1,000, $2,000 direct sale, or where are you sending them to a phone call?
So I was sending them to a phone call because we sell one thing, like, and that's it. I don't want to sell a lot of things because I have a hard time just focusing on that thing. So so we sell one thing, and we usually sell it over the phone.
Gotcha.
That's what we did. So we did like an hour long, like a 45-minute long typical webinar, and it was just two. I guess you would, you know, Scott would call them slow laners, you know, people who, or maybe fast laners, people who already know we exist. And then we were pushing them to a phone call if they wanted to, you know, jump on with us, and we were giving them a discount if they signed up then, you know, so.
I mean, I do think, you know, audience building is definitely important. Like that's one of the mistakes I've made is just like go directly for the sale. If you didn't buy, I don't care kind of deal. And it like, sure, you make quick money or whatever, but you don't build an audience, you know, and what if Facebook shuts you down, you're done, you know, especially if you have one funnel and one ad on Facebook. And the crazy thing is it has actually happened to me. Like not so long ago, I think it was maybe a month and a half, one of my main ad accounts got shut down, right? And I thought it's done. Like, oh shit.
It's done. That was it. I was filling out job applications. That was it.
Yeah,
it's over.
Yeah,
you were calling John Travolta. Hey man, I need a job.
Exactly. And it was scary. Like that was a wake up call when I thought, okay, maybe one funnel and one ad is not gonna cut it. You know, maybe that's not gonna build a multi-million dollar business. Theoretically it can, and practically as well, but it's not very stable. Like the table is pretty much standing on one leg, right? What if that, got it. And that's what happened. So now we got like two business managers. We opened up 800 plus accounts. So we now got backup accounts. But we're taking
800 accounts.
And, well, actually more than that, like 900 almost.
I might have to call you after this on the phone because that's crazy interesting. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, we had to back ourselves up. Like, you know, if that happens once again, we need, you know, backup accounts. So that had to happen. Ventured more into YouTube ads. That is something I'm playing around with. Created like three different funnels. So now, even though the income didn't skyrocket because I had three funnels, it's much more stable now. You know, it's much more, you know, now the table has three legs. And what was the question originally? Like,
I don't know, but I like where we're at. I don't remember exactly what my question was because I make the mistake of not writing down my questions. But I think that we were talking about live streaming and audience building.
Oh yeah. Well, regarding that, I mean, I had this interesting idea. Like, whenever you run people to a landing page to sign up for a webinar, if it's automated, you usually see maybe 20-30% of people sign up. So you're essentially losing 80 to 70% of people right there. And I thought, okay, what if I just send them to an automated webinar in and of itself, or like the live stream, without losing 70, 80%? And you know, there's different ways you can collect the email on the back end, like on the streaming page. There's, you know, you can still retarget them on Facebook and different sites, even you know, without the email. So it, you know, the email at the end of the day, I don't think it's that important. Because, I mean, it's used just to communicate with people, you know, talk to them again. You can do the same thing with Facebook remarketing, you know, different remarketing tools. And there's still ways, like I said, to collect the email or get them on the Messenger bot, you know.
Totally. No, yeah, I think you're right. I think over time, there's kind of a takeover Facebook is doing, and they're kind of releasing their own version of everything. Like, they're releasing their own version of kind of email with the bots, right? And they're I personally, I feel like the day is coming soon where they upgrade your Messenger to look just like email, and but work a little bit more intuitively. And that's gonna be a huge, I think, knock to anybody who's like who's using like Google. I don't want to say anybody specific. Different advertising platforms and email marketing as their primary source of revenue. So, but yeah, it's still relevant for sure. Remarketing, let's talk a little bit about that. I know a lot of the people who are in my world anyways are super interested in it because they're, a lot of times they're novices to Facebook ads. I would consider myself a novice also, even though we spend lots of money on it all the time. If remarketing, what is like, what are the things I should be doing when I'm, because I have seen it where people are like, just remarket the exact same thing to people who originally didn't opt in or who didn't originally watch your video. And that is, to me, feels like, personally, when I see that on my feed and stuff, I'm like, I already kind of told you no. Like, I don't want to see it again. Do you recommend remarketing kind of the same offer or coming at them with sort of a different angle or a different pitch? What has worked really well, for instance, for high ticket people, people who sell something like you or I or, our, you know, AJ, who's a mutual friend of ours or whatever?
Gotcha. Well, there's many ways to go about it. You know, it depends on like what step are we looking at. But if we're looking at just the lead magnet, like the first step, two things. I mean, you can either send them the same offer with maybe a different message, assuming that life got in the way. You know, whatever reason they clicked, but they didn't opt in because they got a call or whatever. Or you might just think that they're not interested in that specific lead magnet, that solution, but they still have the problem. So you can hit them with a different lead magnet. Right, that works really well too. And then we can, you know, talk about like different type of remarketing, you know, getting through them the funnel, you know, getting them to consume the stuff, getting, for example, if you have people get on the application but they don't book, you can do, you know, of course, remarketing to the application so they finish the booking. And one like little tip is if you have people book a phone call with you, you can actually remarket them with testimonials just for like 1 or 2 days before they jump on the phone call to increase the conversions.
Or publications of yourself.
Good point.
Public. Yeah. No, I feel like maybe I've seen, I've ended up in your remarketing funnel at least once or twice. Okay, cool, man. I want to kind of just ask you, we'll pivot a little bit here. I'm not good at segue, so I just say segue. I'm not, but there's a lot of people right now who are kind of jumping into this marketing space and they're calling themselves ads experts. I, for instance, the other day saw somebody on my feed who was like a struggling entrepreneur. And then he's like, I'm going to teach people how to run sales and marketing. You know what I'm talking about? I'm sure you see this more often than I do. And I'm, you know, I'm all for people trying to become something or whatever. I'm not super into people taking money from other people and they have no clue on how to do it. You know, it's different if Peter Scavo is teaching you how to market funnels, who's managed millions and millions of dollars, and you're like, listen, I can do this for you because I have a millionaire who manages other millionaires' accounts mentoring me. That's different. But for some of these schmucks who like buy like $100, $500, even $1,000 little courses, what do you think is going to happen to them? And I know maybe this is sensitive because you offer some trainings as well. Of course, yours are very high quality, but I've seen some that are lower quality that are teaching people very basic stuff that aren't sustainable. What do you think of them, first of all? And what do you think of the future of kind of those small, localized ad agencies? Do you think they're all just going to eventually get eaten up? Or do you think they'll still exist? Because you have the couple anomalies who, you know, grow giant agencies who really know what they're doing, study their craft, go to conferences all the time like you, you know, and I think of other people in my direct network who are always learning about more when it comes to direct response. Do these smaller guys who are trying to make their $5,000, $10,000 a month stand a chance, or eventually they're just going to all get eaten up?
I mean, to preface it, like, I don't consider myself a Facebook guru. You know, I learn new stuff every day, and I'm always a student. Like, matter of fact, yesterday I was at like a marketing seminar here for Facebook in New York, and you know, I'm always open to learn. So I don't consider myself like such an expert. Of course, I spent a bunch of money on it, but you know, that's about it. And the question, I like to look at it objectively because everybody does this for a different reason. You know, I don't believe in the blind leading the blind thing. You know, it's right. It's definitely not cool because I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen many times. Matter of fact, some of the people that apply to work with us are in the same shoes, and we, you know, 99% reject them because it's not the right fit for us. Mm-hmm. And I've got a bunch of crazy stories. Like, I remember this one guy completely copy and pasted my number one best-selling book. Wow. On a rampage on Facebook, like how he's traveling the world and how he's making big money. It turns out that he worked with one of my past mentors, and he's broke. Like, he's not making any money. But at the same time, it's not cool at all. Let me preface it that way. At the same time, I try to understand these people, because when you got to put food on the table, you know, you got to have shelter above your head, you'll do anything. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So I really do try to understand it, but it's not an excuse for doing this shit, because it's not cool. Yeah. Right? So to get back to the question, I think there's plenty of space for everybody in terms of, you know, making a bunch of money and stuff. I don't want to create a utopia, though. You know, of course, if you create more competition, you know, the barrier of entry is low. Of course, there's going to be less money for, you know, like an individual. Mm-hmm. It's a loaded question because I think there's ups and downs to it. You know, one thing, like I said, is the barrier of entry is super low. If you want to open a marketing agency, want to become a consultant, whatever you want to do, it's kind of easy to become it. You know, you can buy a website for $10, a domain, hosting, whatever, and you're good to go, right? Yeah. At the same time, like, I do want people to succeed. I do want them to live this lifestyle because I love it personally. Like, I'm, you know, staying on the 40th floor here in Manhattan. If I hadn't become this digital marketing expert or whatever, I wouldn't be here. And I love this lifestyle, so I want people to experience this. I want people to live the good life. But I don't believe in playing or, you know, being an expert before you really are one, right? Because a lot of people are like, make up this persona of who they are, but they're really not that person. So I like it much more when people are more down to earth, when people play with honesty and integrity. And I think that will take them so much further in life. You know, if a newbie just went on to somebody and said, hey, I'm just learning this. You know, I knew a few things and I'm not an expert, but I can maybe help you free of charge. And if I get your results, then you'll give me a case study. And once they have that case study, they can penetrate into the market and they can, you know, get other clients to learn more. And I think that's one of the missing pieces that a lot of these mentors don't teach. Mm-hmm. You know, some of my past mentors, I'm not going to name anybody, but some of them were like, when I didn't have any results, they were like, hey, just go out there, you know, make up some results, whatever, and do your shit, you know, sell at $10,000 right away. And I was like, okay, let's do it. But it was very ego driven. Yes. You know, I was nobody back then, and I just wanted to charge $10,000 because I could. But it wasn't smart. You know, they just planted this idea on me. I was sold this high-ticket dream. You know, a couple of years back, they told me, you get $50 applications, you do this, you do that. You know, you enroll 4 clients at $5,000 a month, and you make $20,000. I love that idea, but it's not that easy.
It's not
that easy. There's so much more that goes into it. So at like one point, even after doing high ticket for a while, I was like, okay, let me think. Let me start over.
Now let me think.
Exactly. And like, I just started using common sense. I said, okay, let me get a kick-ass result. So I took this client, I think in this like $4,000, he made $48,000 from $4,000 in like 30 days. I used that to market myself. I made my prices reasonable. Instead of being ego-driven and like just, you know, saying $10,000 out of nowhere, I said, okay, it's going to be $1,000 a month. I guarantee your results. And it's only $1,000. I started getting clients like wildfire, closing a lot of them. And eventually I built myself up. I got a portfolio of success stories and I could charge more, $1,500, $2,000 a month, percentage of this, percentage of that. And I'm, you know, not super wealthy or anything, but it's working out. Now I got, you know, 4 salespeople, sales manager, a bunch of team members. So I'm not claiming to be the guru of this because I'm certainly not. I'm still just learning. But if only people thought this, like just be honest and start, you know, from a normal place and work yourself up, I think that'd be so much better than just telling people blindly to claim to be an expert, even if they're not, and charge insane fees, even if they have nothing to back it up with, if that makes sense.
No, totally. Dude, I'm with you. I think this is why we get along. I think this is why, you know, AJ Merzad, I love him. I hate talking about him because he has the same name as me, so I confuse people. But but that's why we all get along well, I think, as well, is because we've seen, you know, we've all had mentors, and I understand learning from a mentor. Like, I get it. And I understand in order to be a teacher, you at one point had to go to school and learn from other teachers, and that's fine, right? But don't, like, claim they're your own, right? And don't lie. Don't get in front of a classroom where you don't know anything about math and try to teach math, right? You're gonna mess up a bunch of people, like, potentially really, really bad. And, you know, I've had this happen to me as well, which is why it's extra sensitive for me. I had somebody who, I think a year ago, around this time actually, called me because he needed help with his fitness business because it was failing. And now he coaches fitness business people. And, you know, AJ Merzad, among other friends of mine, are like, hey, this guy kind of copied all your stuff. And I'm like, it's fine. You know, hopefully it still helps people. Until I hear that somebody's like, it's not working, I'm not going to freak out. But it's still, like, ethically kind of icky. Like, you're a failed trainer teaching other people how to – are you a failed agency owner teaching – like, if your agency sucked, you wouldn't dare teach somebody else how to run an agency. That's just – it's just lying. Like, it's just – and some of these guys are like – and maybe I'm ranting and sorry, but it's there for anybody watching, and thank you. But they're just they're selling hope. They're selling a dream, and they're not – they're not really living it. And I don't know, I think it feels a little too sociopathy for me. Like, I can't.
I've seen it many times. By the way, a little off topic celebration. I see I just got a new client. So I want to say
that's awesome.
But back to the topic. Yeah, it's insane because I've seen it happen many times. And, like, you know, a lot of the times, you know, people try to do it from, like, a marketing standpoint, you know, like, make it a little bit more colorful than it really is. Like, a classic example I see is people talk about, I've made $100,000, but it's not revenue collected, it's not profit, it's sales, you know,
it's gross sales, it's not net profits, cash in hand. Yeah, no, 100%.
Exactly. Or I love this one. So, like, let's say they charge $1,000 a month and they enroll 10 clients. So instead of claiming to, you know, make $10,000, they are like, I made $120,000 in contracts, but they don't say that, and now they create an unrealistic picture, and now other people are attracted to them, like, I want to make $120,000, and now the way they think, at least the way I used to think when I saw these webinars running around, like, how I make $200,000 a month, my thought process was, if I crash and burn and only make 10% of that, $20,000 a month, I'll be good to go. Mm-hmm. And I go to these people, and, like, there's exceptions, but a lot of them are making up numbers. They're not, a lot of them are not making that much, or they might have hit an amazing month, but on average, they're making whatever, $40,000 a month, you know? So it's very tough to be in that newbie position, wanting to learn, because you never know who is the real deal, you know?
Yeah. I love your honesty. And I love your insight, because you've been, like, you say you're not a Facebook marketing guru, but I think you don't give yourself enough credit. You've been doing digital marketing for nearly 10 years here, and you're world renowned for Facebook marketing. So don't sell yourself short there. I do love the honesty. And that was one of my coaches, former mentors. He's still a mentor, actually. His name's Dave Rogenmoser. Gave me a piece of counsel once, where when I started getting into consulting, I'm like, well, what do I say? Because I had that little bit of, you know, maybe I just fudge the truth, right? I had that little bit of, what do I say if they ask me, you know, how many clients I have? And he's like, well, how many clients do you have? I was like, well, none. He's like, well, just tell them you have none, but tell them that it works for you and your businesses, and you're just going to show them that. And I remember telling this too after I was having a hard time closing. And when I started being more honest with my clients, you know, now I can say I've had hundreds of people. I've literally have hundreds of clients who have six-figure businesses. Some of them are watching right now. Hi, Marty, Matt, Stephanie, all of you are watching. But, you know, back then I was like, listen, this is what I did and it worked for my business, and, you know, I'll just show you what I did. And the amount of connection. I still have great relationships with all those clients. They were like, thank you so much for just telling me the truth that you know, you're not selling me some hypey dream. You're just saying, listen, this is what I did and this is what the numbers of my business. Can you help me do the same? And I was like, I'll do my best. And I think that works long term a lot better for people as well. Yeah. So,
yeah. You know, and I think it's not that hard, even if you're just starting out. Like, I think the hardship, like, stems from the misinformation and misguidance and the blind leading the blind. It's actually not that hard. Even if you're starting out, you could literally go out to people and be like, hey, I only need 7 minutes of your time. I'm happy to pay for those 7 minutes. That's like a unique tweak you can make. Get them on the phone, be like, hey, I'm going to work with you for free. And if I get your results, then you pay me. It's a very unique setup, and it's like, you know, different for each offer. It could be great for like Facebook marketing, maybe not.
That's really good. Yeah.
Fair enough, but you know, if only people weren't so ego driven. And I'm not trying to be too spiritual or voo voo, but yeah, if we just went back more to common sense and not being led by people that are not actually doing what they claim to be doing, it would be so much easier.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you, and you can be as spiritual as you want or hippie as you want. I live in Southern California. I have a yoga instructor hippie for a wife, so it's totally. You met her actually, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, you met her. Yeah, she looks like a pixie, so I'm pretty sure she is. But anyway, cool. So let's see here. If you guys have any questions for Peter before he has to go, I don't know, hang out with the president or whatever it is you do on a typical Wednesday, throw them in the now before. I guess any last this conversation morphed, I think, in a really amazing way. Any last pieces of advice for anybody who's an entrepreneur at all? Who is maybe in that newbie position, doesn't want to lie. What are the, let's go webinar style. What are the three secrets? Now, what are the three things though, or a couple things you would tell them to do immediately to make them as successful as they could be?
Actually, the biggest thing that I could potentially talk about is like mindset, you know, and a lot of people want to talk about tactics and strategy, but like anytime I look back, it's more about mindset. Like Tony Robbins says, it's 80% psychology, mindset, 20% strategies. And like it sometimes fascinates me. Like I remember back when I was making like 10 grand a month on average, right? I remember this one day I was in France and we were sitting down and, you know, talking to my coaches and stuff. And I was telling them I want to speak on stage in New York. I want to make whatever, $1 million, blah, blah, blah. And one of them, I told them that I feared that I'm not good enough or whatever, like a bullshit thing I made up. And one of them called me out and said, maybe it has something to do with your dad. You know, things got very emotional very quickly. I remember in like 5 minutes, I started crying like a baby because I figured out, looking back now, connecting the dots, that I wanted to prove my worth to my dad by making more money. You know, I'm a high school dropout, and ever since I was young, they were telling me that if I drop out, if I'm not going to have diplomas and shit, you know, I'm not going to count or amount to anything, that I'm going to be a nobody. So I was trying to make all this money to make up for something, to be somebody, right? To make him proud. And because of that, I didn't know. It was a subconscious thing. So consciously, I had no idea. But because of that reason, I was very much focused on income. I just wanted to make the money and that was it. And I think people felt it. Like if you get on a phone call and you just want to make money instead of helping people, I think people feel it. And I was wondering why nobody's paying me money. Why am I attracting and getting into like shitty contracts, shitty clients, it's not working out. My income was a roller coaster. Some months I would make 15 grand and some months I would make -4 grand. You know, it was insane. And that day, something clicked. You know, after I cried, flew back home, took me 2 days to grow a pair of balls, to sit down with my dad. We talked about this. I cried again for like a solid half an hour. We cleared this up. And that day, like a boulder was lifted off my being. Literally the next month, I went from 10 grand to 42 grand in a single month, 30 days. And that just blew my mind because I always had the knowledge. I always had the strategies. The funnel didn't change. The ad didn't change. But I was able to break through mentally. You know, I was able to let it in. And then what fascinates me, just to like take it even further, for the next few months, I was stuck at 42 grand a month. 42, mm-hmm. 42. Or, like, no matter what I've done, even though I was getting more clients, 42. My funnel was better, 42. And it fascinated me. I think it was February or something, and it's like 28 days instead of 30 or 31. Last day was 36 grand. And before the day ended, we collected six more thousand bucks. So we ended up 42 once again for like 4 or 5 months in a row. I'm like, something's up. Like, I'm trying different things in terms of strategy and tactics, but it's not increasing my income. Started working on my mindset. Boom, next month, 58 grand. Right? So there is a lot that goes on here. And 80% of success is mindset. Psychology, definitely work on that.
Love it. Love it, Peter. Oh, man. No, I can attest to this too. Maybe not to the degree. I don't know if I've been in, maybe I've been in business as long as you. Maybe I started my business when I was 18. So almost. As long as you. So it is mindset, and you'll notice that you start to block, like plateau yourself almost. Gay Hendricks in his book Big Leap calls it the upper limit problem, where like you feel like if you're higher than you should be, you start knocking yourself down to this other lower level. So like your funnel's performing better, but then you won't close as many sales or whatever, right? Or you lose clients. And it 100% is your mindset. And I'll also add, and this was a little bit of a mantra we had when you and I hung out in January, was that like what got you here is not going to get you there in terms of your mindset, strategy, everything. So like just because, yay, you meditate every day and yay, you fill out a gratitude journal, that like unless you want to stay where you're at, which is fine, you're never going to grow unless you continue to improve your mindset, which is such a hippie piece of advice. So I'm sorry for those of you who think I just went full SoCal, but it's really just the truth. People ask me business advice sometimes, and I'm sure this happens to you, and some questions I don't have an answer to because I'm like, you have to think you're worth it. You have to like love yourself. You have to fix relationships. You have to manifest it. Ah, that's the worst piece of advice ever. But I mean, you do. Like, you have to manifest it. Some people are like, how did you attract such a good team? I don't know. I really focused on it, and I treat them like really like human beings, I feel like, is the way I did it. And they're like, oh, you have to have a strategy. I'm like, I don't have a strategy. So, but yeah, awesome. Peter, if I really like you, because your hair is just perfectly set and those glasses look great, where can I follow you? Maybe learn about how I can double my ROI, stuff like that.
All right, you can put my name into Google, or you can go to my site, petersabo.co or petersabo.co/double ROI. I share a couple tips there on how you can double your ROI overnight, potentially. I mean, it might take a little longer, but we've done it before in like 24 hours. So if you want to check that out, it's petersabo.co/double ROI.
Sweet. And I got it here on the split screen right below too. We'll throw it in the comments after also if you want to go check Peter out. Peter is, I always get a lot of value anytime I talk to you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, dude, no problem. All right, I'm going to do a little outro, and then if you're cool, I'll keep you on here for a little wrap up. Cool. All right. So this has been AJTV episode 23 with doubling your ROI with Mr. Peter Scabo. If you liked this, just maybe click like on Facebook, tag a friend. If you hated it, hit the angry face and tag an enemy. And that would be awesome as well. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe. If you're listening to the podcast, subscribe also. Leave us a review, even if it's, man, AJ really has very little interesting things to say. That's totally, a review is a review. So that's great. We'll see you guys tomorrow. And I have another episode tomorrow at the same exact time, same bat station. So I will talk to you guys then.